listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to State of the Art with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.
Listening to Michael Sterling. I am Michael Sterling. I think I am.
Yes, you are.
Today I am.
If you're not, you're a dead ringer. You're a dead ringer.
Yeah, I'm not feeling quite like Michael Sterling.
No?
Yeah.
Why is that?
I don't know. It's the change in the, would you like the weather
me
out here.
Would you like me to feel like Michael Sterling today?
Would you want to?
I'll do you today.
Oh, really?
I'll do your voice, and you can do me.
Oh,
so
my
we'll just
God.
Swatch it, okay?
I don't have that much stick in me.
Hello. welcome to State of the Arts.
Oh, I see. You're going to go there.
Yes.
I'm going to take it there.
Michael Sterling, the man with the cashmere vocal cords.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, we have some other cashmere
now you
vocal
gotta,
cords
that, now you're
going to
do
today.
Me, and I'm going to be like Jerry Lewis.
Lady before with the hangman.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you. We've got such a wonderful show today.
Very
so
exciting
many
show. Very
stars
exciting.
Of musical theater. And first of all, we'd like to thank our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, simply visit them at breakdownexpress.com.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to our weekly live arts calendar.
And Paul, as I said, we have a blockbuster show today with three of musical theater's most magnificent award-winning forces. Two of them are with us here in our Los Angeles studios, and our other very special guest is standing by in New York and will be joining us by telephone in just a few minutes.
Yes.
So the first of our in-studio guests has the distinction of playing the title role of the Phantom of the Opera over 2,000 times collectively on Broadway and in Los Angeles and San Francisco, the sit-downs, of course, of the show. On Monday of this week, he received L.A.'s most coveted award, the L.A. Stage Alliance's Ovation Award for Best Lead Actor in a Musical, that musical being Man of La Mancha at Musical Theater West in Long Beach, California. Welcome, Davis Gaines.
Hello, sir. Thank you so much. It's great to see you guys
again.
Nice.
Glad to have you back.
Feel like home.
Always
coming home.
Good.
Oh, nice.
Good.
That's sweet.
Nice.
But you didn't bring anything, though. No wine or cookies.
I think I left it in the car.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll just get that out of the way up. Also, she's not only known to millions of viewers for her stunning participation as a top four finalist in the third season of TV's American Idol, but from her marvelous performances in the U.S. national tour of The Color Purple. She, too, scored an Ovation Award this week as Best Featured Actress in a Musical in the recent revival of The Color Purple at Hollywood's highly respected Celebration Theater. Boy, that cleaned up at the Ovation.
Yes, it did.
Yeah.
Nice job.
Say hello to the lovely, the talented, and oh so pretty, Miss LaToya Lemon.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
I'm good.
So nice to see you.
Thank you.
It
good,
is.
Great to be here.
And it's a little a rainy day today, a little bit of a rainy day, Paul.
Yeah, it is.
So listen, you know, it's been so beautiful and sunny, and I hope it will be
Should
that
we tell
way.
Them who we have on the, did we say
well,
who we have on the phone?
We're,
or are we
going
to tease
we're
them?
We're going to. Yeah,
okay, we won't tell them yet. We'll keep them on the hook.
Yeah, before we do, though, I just wanted to ask you, how was your week?
My week was good. We opened a show.
Yes,
show.
Yes, you opened
a
show.
Our production, Seaglass Theater's production of our Dickens parody of, said of Grapes and Nuts. That was a Steinbeck one. You can tell how tired I am.
The Scotch, Michael. Have to have the scotch.
A Christmas Twist that we opened this past weekend. Too. Great acclaim so far. We packed the house all three nights, and we got great reviews so far. We're 3 for 3 with the reviews. Not a negative word in one of them.
Right,
so
and I know the reviewers are still coming in to see the show. So
Yeah, a lot more. And
do very well with this. You're running through December 16th, aren't
people
you?
People are digging it, yeah. Through December 16th at the Big Vic at the Victory Theater at Victory and Hollywood Way.
Well, congratulations, and, because it's a very funny show.
You were there opening. You were doubled over in laughter.
Was.
You were choking on your own laughter. You were apoplectic with laughter. How many more qualifiers can I give it?
Okay.
How many more?
Well, I'm just glad.
And how was your week?
You know, it was good. It was quick. It was crazy. It was full of a lot of things. The Ovation Awards, of course, which I was covering for Broadway World Television, and some other things in between. And it is what it is. We all do what we do because we're so passionate about theater and keeping it alive in this town, so it occupies a great deal of our time.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
But I think we need to move on to our special guest here, because I was going to tell you about a little incident that happened on the way here today, but I'll tell you
we'll
that.
We'll do it at the end if we have time.
We'll do it later.
We'll get to our on-the-phone guest.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, he is a multiple Tony Award nominee who first burst onto the New York theater scene in the 2000 Broadway revival of The Rocky Horror Show, for which he won a Theater World Award. He's since starred on Broadway in Cabaret, Taboo, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, the extraordinary revival of Stephen Sondheim's Company, and most recently dazzled theatergoers in Leap of Faith, which bowed on Broadway earlier this year. He currently portrays District Attorney Rafael Barba, a recurring character on television's much-heralded Law and Order SVU, and this weekend, Saturday, November 17th, Los Angeles audiences will see him in his own concert at the spectacular Valley Performing Arts Center in neighboring Northridge, California. Please welcome one of Broadway's most luminous and magnetic stars, Raul Esparza.
Raul.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
I am good. I am. We're delighted to have you on the show, Raul. As Michael was reading that introduction, it occurred to me that we have a mutual friend, because one of my best friends in the world, Ted Koch, is married to a lovely actress named Lean Your Ride Out, and the two of you did the
Royal
Company together.
We did Cabaret together, and we also did Company together.
Oh, you did two shows together. I thought it was just Company, which I enjoyed tremendously.
She was in the original cast of Cabaret.
The revival.
And she came back in briefly during my run as the MC.
Oh, really? Oh, that's great. That's great. I've always envied her because she has a Hirschfeld on her wall that has her rendered in it, and she's the Nina.
Yeah.
That's just so cool.
Nice.
We're jealous of her, too. Well, she's not too hard on the eyes.
Well, you are a busy man right now. You are bringing your concert out here to Los Angeles, which we'd like to talk to you a little bit about. And more importantly, you are back on television in a big, wonderful show in which you're creating a recurring role of a district attorney. Tell us about that. I watched a little clip on you this morning, and you were making a remark. It was actually an interview about your doing the show, and you made a remark that you've been in New York now for 10 years. Is that right?
Yeah, I got here in the year 2000.
This is your first time, at least on this program. I know you've done other television.
Yeah, I think I've done one episode of the regular Law and Order and one episode of Criminal Intent. And after 10 years in New York, you know, that's not that much. New York actors get to do a lot of stuff on Law and Order. In this case, what happened was because Warren Light was the book writer on Leap of Faith when we performed here on Broadway. And after Leap of Faith closed, he said he wanted to create a new ADA and he wanted to write for me. So it doesn't get better than that, to have a great playwright writing for you and to have a showrunner want to do something for you.
Absolutely not. And your first episode, I think, if I'm correct, was October 10th. Is that right? It aired on October
10th? I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. I don't follow that very well. I have a hard time watching myself.
You do? Wow.
Yeah, I can't stand it.
Well, I'll tell you this. We enjoy watching you, so it's all a good thing.
So now, in regard to this thing that's coming up, Raul, have you seen the new Valley Performing Arts Center that you're performing in? Have you been there before?
I haven't. No, I was invited to do this. They asked me to bring out a concert, actually much earlier this year, and we said, you know, sure, if we could swing it. It's a very, very, very simple concert. It's me and a piano. My musical director, Mary Mitchell Campbell, from Company.
Oh, that's cool.
And so I haven't seen the space and actually have no idea what to expect other than that I know from people in New York who have performed there that it's supposed to be stunningly beautiful.
Yeah, it is spectacular. It's a $144 million venue in Los Angeles.
It's sort of like the Valley equivalent of the Disney Concert Hall. That's the feeling you get when you go
very
in
much
there.
So.
You know, it has that sort of vibe to it.
Impeccable acoustics. Yeah. Impeccable.
It's four. Plan to live up to that as much as possible. Just me and a piano.
No pressure.
Yeah.
Before we get into discussing that, I want to throw out there for the listeners what it is. This is Raul Esparza sings Sondheim. This is at the Valley Performing Arts Center Saturday, November 17th at 8 p.m. And for tickets, you can call the box office at 818-677-3000 or go online to valleyperformingartscenter.org or through Ticketmaster, just so people know. Throw that out there.
So an entire evening of Sondheim and Raul Esparza.
I was asked to put together a concert that was basically a very simple night of Steve's music and in a sort of two-act structure. So that's a really tall order, what that means to like put together Steve's music out of context, outside the shows. And so I get to do a lot of music that I've always loved, and I get to do a lot of music that I've had the total honor of performing and have been in rehearsals with him for. So what we've done is we've just kind of structured a night where you tell stories about relating to that music, relating to my life as an actor, but especially relating to him and what he is and what it's like to work with him, and even a little bit of what it's like behind the scenes to create work together with him. And I hope it's fun, because Lord knows an actor's life and doing this kind of material is should be fodder for lots of comedy. And and getting to do Steve's work in any context is always a joy. So you get to celebrate the best writer, I think, of the second half of the 20th century in the American theater. So
I would tend to agree with you. I am admiring already your reference to him as Steve, because
yeah, I like the name drop. I can drop a few more if you want. If you really get
anytime you like.
I can make, if you just make a clanking sound every time I say Steve, will be
no. You know what I like about it is it's indicating obviously that you have a great affection for him, and I am assuming you have a wonderful relationship with the man. What else can I
met him. The first time I met him actually was on an audition for Assassins here in New York in the year 2000, and it was a production I was cast in, but we never did it because September 11th happened. It's actually one of the stories I talk about in the concert, the audition experience of meeting him. But he also became really supportive of a show that I did off-Broadway called Tick, Tick, Boom, mm-hmm. where he was referred to in hushed whispers by John Larson. And he agreed to record an answering machine message for us to close the show.
Oh.
And that was sort of the highlight of John Larson's story in Tick, Tick, Boom that Steve Sondheim called him. So
that's hysterical.
From there, I went to work with him on, we did six of Steven's shows in Rep at the Kennedy Center. It's been a decade now, and we did six of his shows in repertory at the Kennedy Center. It was probably the most magical summer of my entire life, and I got to do two of them. I did Sunday in the Park with George and Merrily We Roll Along.
Wow. How exciting.
You know, it sounds that this thing that you're doing is going to have a real air of intimacy about it, and I think that, you know, you're talking about just you and the piano, but I think that's perfectly suited to that space, because even though it's a grand space in the feeling of it, the way it's structured, and it's almost Jacobean in the way it goes up, I don't think there's a seat that's more than about 50 to 60 feet from the stage. I mean,
that sounds great.
I mean, yeah, that might be pushing
it. Yeah, I think it's actually a little bit longer than that, but you don't feel that.
No, and I remember when they opened, the first person I saw there was Loudon Wainwright,
right.
and Sean Colvin and Loudon Wainwright, and they it was just them and a guitar the opening night. And,
you know something, I saw Sean Colvin in concert here at City Winery a few weeks ago, and I've loved her for years, and I was really inspired by the way that she got up there with her guitar and just delivered her songs, delivered them with her heart.
Yeah.
She didn't say too much about them, and you just kind of lived in the music with her in this intimate way. And that is part of what made me think, you know what? We could really simplify this idea and let the songs speak for themselves.
Yeah,
some you have to set up. You have to tell a story. You got to set some stories up. That's fine. But some of these songs just kind of lend themselves to a quiet conversation with an audience and with an actor and with a piano.
Yeah.
I think the biggest gift, of course, that my musical director, Mary Mitchell Campbell, will be on the piano with me. She musical directed Sweeney Todd on Broadway in the last revival. She did Us with Company, and she was the musical director for Roadshow, which is Steve's last show that premiered in New York here.
Mm-hmm.
So where she actually got to work on new material with him. So the two of us have a lot of little stories to tell about what the songs mean, or what it was like to put them together, or what it was like to get towards getting to perform Company the way we did it. And I hope that audiences will be interested in that, in knowing some of those stories, because I always love that. I love those little backstage stories.
You know, Sondheim fans are true fans of the theater and will love anything that you can possibly share. Listen, before we let you go, and we're going to tell people how to purchase tickets for your concert, for the few tickets that are left at this point, but tell us, you have another television guesting that you're going to be doing soon, is that correct?
Oh yeah, right after I leave you guys, I'm going to be flying up to Toronto. I'll be filming the new series Hannibal that Brian Fuller is creating for Pushing. He's the creator of Pushing Daisies.
Yeah.
And he's created for NBC. So I get to work with him again, which is really exciting because Pushing Daisies was the last time I got to do anything with him. And at the time, I was working with Kristen Chenoweth on Pushing Daisies, and we had never done anything on stage together. The two of us were like, so maybe we'll get to sing on national television.
Ah.
It never happened. But Brian was determined to get me into another series with him, and here he is writing the sort of prequel to all the Hannibal Lecter stories. It is a brutally, brilliantly bloody, poetic, gorgeous script.
Okay. Wow.
And I can't believe NBC is going to put this on television, but if it works, this thing is good, and I can't wait to be part of it, so that's going to be really fun. I feel very blessed right now.
Well, you are a class act, sir. I'm going to be at your concert on Saturday, so I cannot wait to see you. And I might just stop backstage and introduce myself to you in person. But
perfect.
Thank you so much for being with Paul and I on State of the Arts.
I'll throw
today.
It's
my pleasure.
Info out there once more.
Absolutely.
This is the Raoul Esparza Sing Sondheim. This is at the Valley Performing Arts Center Saturday night, this coming Saturday at 8 o'clock. And for tickets, 818-677-3000 or Ticketmaster or valleyperformingartscenter.org. Thank you so much, sir. Pleasure having you on.
Thank you, guys. It's a pleasure to speak to you. Okay. Take care.
We'll thank talk you, to you, Raoul.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Nice guy.
Very nice man.
Nice guy. And Lena said he was a nice guy, so I knew we were in for a
and
thing.
And she's a nice person, so then I would take
she
her.
She is. She is. But let's get to the lovely people that we have right here with
absolutely
us that we don't need the electric telephone for. As an actress, she has toured in the dramatic comedy Issues, We All Have Them. As a musical theater star, she received rave notices for her performance in the Los Angeles production of the retro 60s musical Beehive. Oh, I saw you somewhere else. But perhaps the greatest notoriety on the theater stage came when she co-starred in the U.S. National tour of The Color Purple. Audiences saw her again in the Los Angeles Raise the Roof revival of The Color Purple at the Celebration Theater, for which she just received an Ovation Award as Best Featured Actress in a Musical. Currently on stage in the Los Angeles premiere of the New York hit Silence, the musical starring Davis Gaines at the Hayworth Theater. Please welcome once again LaToya London.
Hello.
Hello there.
How are
Hello,
you? Everyone.
Wow. It's very Katharine Hepburn.
Very Katharine Hepburn of you. So this show, and we're going to talk about it a lot today, but is it sounds not only hysterical, but I hear it's pretty damn risque too.
Yeah.
It's pretty racy.
Yeah.
So
lyrically,
and who do you play in it?
I play the character Ardelia, who was in the movie. She had a small cameo. She was Clarice's friend in the FBI's
okay
training school.
Okay.
You know, her biggest supporter, basically. And so apparently they wanted to put a spin on their relationship a little bit. So you have to come and see the show.
Okay.
And see
all
what
right
that is.
That'll be our tease.
Yeah.
That'll be the thing.
That wow. Jeez.
LaToya, Michael, you interview. I'm going to go on the internet and find out what that's about. Right here at the computer.
Well, first of all, yeah, I'm very excited about seeing the show. I've heard so many wonderful, wonderful things about it and how great of a parody this is. Because it really is billed as the unauthorized parody of the motion
right
picture.
Right.
So we have to keep that in mind.
Yeah.
But LaToya, let's talk a little bit about your career.
Okay.
In theater and also, of course, the launching pad being American Idol, I guess, for you in that amazing season. When you were among the last four standing there.
Yeah.
Which you had my vote.
Thank you.
All the way.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
So you had a hand in me getting so far.
Well, and then I was shaking my hand like this when they eliminated you at that particular juncture. But I think
he talked a whole show, practically a whole show about it. When that happened,
oh
we were
gosh,
on the air,
yeah,
and you were just...
it was like... Well,
you were miffed.
Miffed.
You were snippy.
Snippy.
You were truculent.
A lot of people were apparently like, I mean, I've heard stories of vandalism and everything. I mean,
really?
People, yeah,
my.
People were outraged. I'm like, thanks for the love. You know? Thanks, guys.
Oh, man.
And then you started, of course, the music that you were singing on Idol during that time, the downloads on your songs were like huge.
That's awesome. I really
right
wasn't in computers that much back then. I'm going to be honest. So, yeah, I didn't even know that things were being downloaded and that whole thing was happening. Like, so that's great to know.
Then you went on to record your own
yeah
lovely album.
Mm-hmm. Called Love and Life, which is still available on
absolutely
iTunes.
Absolutely. Yes, and you're still being musical with a group, is that correct? Or was that something that was in the recent past?
Urban Punk.
Yes.
Yes, that is a venture that I did with a friend of mine, Harrell Harris, who is a phenomenal rapper. Mm-hmm. We just thought that we'd, you know, take a stab at like a little duo, and it was a really, really fun time, and we did some great music, so yeah.
How passionate are you about the theater?
You know, I have become...
It rests on you very well.
Yeah, I mean, this is just something that I didn't even plan, you know. It's been mentioned to me that I had a voice for it, but I didn't grow up knowing about theater. You know, I grew up in... I'm from Oakland, California, mm-hmm. so I would see Cats on TV, like the commercial when I was little, and I had no idea what it was. I thought it was just the circus live, you know?
Sweet.
and so even when I was on Idol and the judges would suggest that, I'm like, no, I want to record albums and, you know, that. So, but once I was offered to audition for theater and I got involved with it, I saw the beauty of it. And, you know, I fell in love with it, and I understand. I understand it now. I get it. And it's authentic. It's live. It's just the rawest form of entertainment you can get.
It's the rawest, and it's the most difficult because there's no second take. There's no doing it again. And it gives you something that you don't get in any other aspect of the recorded performing arts, which is the immediacy of the audience. Yeah. I mean, certain things like Idol and things like that where you get both. You not only have the fact that you're filming it and you're creating television, but you have the immediacy of a live audience right there.
Right.
But were you prepared for it with, since you said it wasn't really what was on your dance card at first.
Mm-hmm.
How was, I mean, the work ethic of just 8 times a week? I mean,
yeah.
Was that sort of like, I mean, I always think in terms of vocalists and people with strong voices and everything. I mean, do you have to like just not speak during the day when you're doing?
I mean, well, to each his own. No. You know, some people that works for them, and some people, I mean, they smoke and talk, go out to clubs all night, and then go, you know, perform the next day. So it's just really what works for you. You know, I do everything. You know, I'm just kidding. but I don't have any, you know, set routine. But, you know, it definitely is discipline, and I'm a hard worker just in general, and I'm always up for just to make sure that something is right, you know, so I'm a team player, and, you know, I show up, and I'm there to show out, you know.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good term. I'm writing that down.
Show up and show up.
That's right.
I like that.
Yeah.
I tell you. Absolutely. And I must tell you, LaToya and I, ladies and gentlemen, talked about this just a moment before we went on the air. She had such a fun, uplifting, beautiful speech at the Ovation Awards on Monday when she won that gorgeous award.
I know.
How beautiful is that award?
Are they still doing that design of the standing person? Yeah.
Yes.
That's great.
It's
it's beautiful turquoise.
Thanking the heavens or something.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I didn't get one. I got nominated, but I didn't get one. I'm not bitter or anything.
It's okay. You'll get yours.
I've been nominated for every single award that this town has to offer, and I have not won a damn thing. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
It's coming.
Yeah.
I got
all this empty mantle space.
Well, you just got nominated for a Broadway
all
World
set.
Award.
Yes, I did.
So there you go.
Could the speech potentially be? Is it filmed? Could it be a YouTube clip?
It is.
Is it something we get
footage,
to see?
Actually,
is it?
It's. I was there covering on behalf of Broadway World Television, and we're just waiting to get that footage.
Mm-hmm.
And you bet it's going to be on there.
Awesome.
Good.
At least a little snippet of it. But the most charming thing, Paul, was after her beautiful speech, and it was so full of energy. And then 30 minutes later, someone else came up to actually announce an award, and they found her purse on the podium. And all they did was just hold it up like this. And she came running
wait,
down
someone
the
someone from silence
aisle.
Goes, "That's LaToya London's purse."
Wow.
And they're like, "Oh, LaToya, your purse." And I go, "Huh?"
I tell you.
And I run up and get my purse. And there's actually a picture of me from getting my purse, running back to my seat. It's like the person that has their award, their arms are stretched out, kind of like, LaToya London, ladies and gentlemen. Like, it's hilarious.
I tell you, know you're famous when they recognize your purse.
That's an infamous purse.
And a beautiful purse it was. A beautiful purse it was.
Thank you.
You made it when they've
had its moment.
Right, its debut.
LaToya, you mentioned your album. Would you give the name of your album again?
Sure. Love and Life, and that's with the and symbol.
Okay.
Love and Life.
Love and Life. And is there a website that people could go to for you to find out about more things, LaToya?
Sure. Right now you can follow me on Twitter. That's at LaToya London, all one word.
Okay.
And on Facebook you can find me too at LaToya London. So yeah, that's it right now as far as me, where I'm going to be,
And the album is at all the usual outlets, Amazon and CD Baby and all that.
Yeah,
okay,
sure
good.
Is.
Good. I always like to let people know about that.
So I want to ask you something. Davis, who I've known, we've known each other for the past year and a half, 2 years perhaps, and he's one of the most giving people on stage. I know that.
Yeah.
And how is it to work with him? It's your first time working with him,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's my first
How is it,
time.
It's a very special type of a musical.
Yeah.
And very different from what you've experienced, at least thus far, I think.
Right. I mean, this is my first comedy, complete comedy. And the actors and actresses that I'm working with, I mean, they're just so... I learned so much from them watching them. And watching Davis, it's like... it's just effortless in a way, it's like I'm a new booty, and so I until I got the Ovation Award, I didn't consider myself an actress until I got the award. So but just I'm a student, and so watching them I'm learning like this whole the technique to acting, and it's just all about just really being the character, and Davis does that very well. Yeah. So,
But that's what it takes in theater. If you don't have someone that is giving you something
right
back,
I'm sorry,
please go ahead. I know you understand this as you're a wonderful actor in that sense too.
No, I was agreeing with you. I didn't really have more.
It's really that give and take kind of thing between two people or whatever the circumstances is that makes it work for the audience,
right? And watching him and Christine Lakin, who plays Clarice, the exchange between them, it's different every night, and she'll give, and then he'll give back, and it's just authentic in that moment. You know what I mean? It's never a routine, experience.
Right.
It's authentic.
I had a theater professor when I was in college who said something that I'll never forget, and she said, Beverly Brum, brilliant acting teacher, and she said, acting is reacting.
Yeah.
And she said it's all about, reacting to the new stuff that you're given, because it can never be false. It can never be manufactured. And getting back to what we talked about earlier, that's one of the great things about live theater versus a filmed medium, right, is because what happens in that moment is only shared by the people in that room that night. It'll never be the same. The next night, and when it is the same the next night, then the show needs to close.
Right.
When you get to that point where it becomes robotic, then it's time to say goodbye.
Right.
But that's yet another one of the appeals of the live theater for me. That's my getting up on my live theater soapbox again.
Well, there's I can't wait to see it. I'm mesmerized by you. I am.
Thank you.
And the other night, I was mesmerized by Christine Lakin. Because I interviewed her for Broadway World TV, and really, I got lost in her blue eyes.
Gorgeous.
Isn't she beautiful?
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And such a sweet, sweet young woman.
Yeah.
I got lost in LaToya's purse.
Actually. Did you? Oh, you
yes,
were the guy.
I did.
You
it's
were
a
the
sweet
guy.
Purse it, too,
I know. I know. Look at
so sweet.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to say this a couple times during the program today, but Silence the Musical, you must go see it. It's in town through December 9th. It is playing Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays at 8 p.m., Sundays at 3 p.m., and 7 p.m. Tickets are very affordable, and all you have to do is go to the website silencethemusical.com or call 866-811-4111, and you'll get your tickets. And it's at the wonderful Hayworth Theater, which is on Wilshire Boulevard in Los Angeles.
Yes, very exciting, very exciting. We just have one little item for our arts calendar before we speak to Mr. Gaines here, so I will throw that out there. Tonight at 7 p.m. at the Edgemar Center for the Arts in beautiful downtown Santa Monica, a stage reading of 2 one-acts, Cops on Drugs, by one of my favorite writers, Jeff Ayers, brilliant writer, and it's a dark piece, Cops on Drugs, very, very funny. And Rapunzel by Lee Michaels. Michael Cohen hits the boards. These two comedy pieces are vastly different, but vastly hilarious, and feature some of L.A.'s favorite funny men, Christopher Meehan, Jim Giordano. The event is directed by Lee Cohn, produced by Doug Kayback, who we've had on the show a number of times.
Absolutely.
Showtime is at 7 p.m. tonight at the Edgemar Center for the Arts in Santa Monica. There will be snacks and wine afterward. Admission is free. Well, you can't do better than that. So check it out. Further information, you can always call the Edgemar directly at 310-399-3666. Very funny play.
Absolutely. Very and Chris play. Meehan, who's a favorite of ours. What a hilarious young man.
I'm Chris and I are reading The Two Cops on Drugs. I'm one of the cops on drugs, and he's the other cop on drugs.
Funny.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Scene begins. Funny. So he's got bunny ears on. We're both in our underwear. He's got bunny ears on, and I'm wearing an inner tube. And it goes surreal from there. And we're both tripping at the same time. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's dark. And there's a pizza delivery guy chained to a chair. That's where we start. And then it gets weird.
God.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fun. Very fun.
Well, thank you for telling us about that, Paul.
Not at all.
Ladies and gentlemen, for the best of the arts in Los Angeles, simply visit performingartslive.com and you'll find everything you need to know there. Paul, as promised.
Yes.
He's back.
Yes. Yes.
He was.
Oh,
there we go. Wow. He was the masked man in one of musical theater's most breathtaking hits. He serenaded audiences in over 2,000 performances of Andrew Lloyd Webber's Phantom of the Opera, both on Broadway and here in Los Angeles and San Francisco, as I said earlier. During his diverse and illustrious career, he has starred opposite such notable theater performers as Carol Channing, Richard Burton, Lainey Kazan, Faith Prince, Alexis Smith, and never ceases to dazzle. His voice can be heard on over 30 cast recordings and compilation albums, as well as 2 solo CDs. He is this year's Ovation Award-winning Best Actor in a Musical for his performance in Man of La Mancha, and audiences are currently clamoring to see his portrayal of Hannibal Lecter in the parody of Silence of the Lambs, Silence the Musical. On stage through December 9th at the Hayworth Theater, please welcome a good friend of State of the Arts, Mr. Davis Gaines.
Oh my God.
Well, Davis, we're out of time.
Okay, thank
so,
you.
So, good night. We'll see you.
Thanks for having
great
me.
To have
see,
you.
That
yeah.
was a awesome introduction.
Man, Davis, can I get that introduction in the leather-bound edition?
You really? May.
Can I get that one
you
on
may.
Parchment, maybe?
Every time they come back, it's a little
did my mom write
long.
That?
No. Hey, Davis, we're just reading the cards you hold up.
Okay,
that's our
I
job.
See.
You hold
I
up the flashcards, we read them. That's the way we're... No, that's very, very impressive. 30 cast recordings.
Yeah, I don't know how that happened.
Unbelievable.
I'm exhausted.
So, you just finished the last one.
30 cast recordings in
this
1 week.
Week.
In
yeah.
1 week they were
yeah.
recorded.
My throat hurts.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah?
Yeah. No, it's just...
Davis, you are a busy man all year.
Very
busy. It's been an incredibly wonderful
man
year.
Man of La Mancha.
I saw you at the beginning of the year.
That's right.
Here in February.
That's right.
With La Mancha.
That's
with
absolutely
With lovely
right.
Leslie Margarita.
Crazy.
Oh,
yeah.
I love
crazy.
Her.
Crazy. Oh, jeez. Yeah. We had her on. She was on the show with you,
yeah.
wasn't she?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
I came again, I think, for Spamalot. I'm not sure. But Spamalot was a crazy, wonderful
I understand.
Thing.
I did not get to see you in that, but I wonderful. Heard it was wonderful. And now.
And now this crazy.
Now this. Tell us about this. What is your experience with this? This is a big departure for you.
Well,
right? I mean, it is. I mean, it, not in playing interesting men. Well, I'm sure you do.
I say words that my parents are not allowed to see it. It is that raunchy. It is very raunchy.
Yeah.
They don't bring the kids. Don't bring grandma necessarily.
Unless
everyone,
grandma is.
Yeah.
She's hip.
Yeah. If she smoked out beforehand. I don't know.
My mother would be in the audience for this. Well, oh, Paul, it was so... Yeah.
Oh, really? Mine yeah. bless their hearts, they can't come.
I met your parents. They're
yeah,
very
they're,
sweet.
They're adorable. But yeah. No, it's the craziest thing I've ever done, I'm sure. I'm sure all of us. But
yes, I can contest.
This is probably one of the most gifted, talented, funny, loving cast I've ever been involved with. And this show is the most bizarre show I've ever been involved with, but at the same time, the most fun to do. And I can't remember, I was in Forbidden Broadway on back in New York a
yeah.
long time ago, and this kind of reminds me of that camaraderie and this fast-paced changing clothes and throwing, just it doesn't stop for an hour and a half, and it's just, we have no intermission, it just keeps going, and it's the audience cannot sometimes stop laughing.
Wow.
It is...
Yeah.
It goes. They go through, and they're in convulsions. We have to hold for the laughter, which I've never really been in a show like that before. And sometimes we don't even have to say anything. We just
looking at each other.
Well, that's one of the great things you have with parody, I think, because you are, I mean, in effect, it's the world's biggest inside joke. Because if they're if they know the source material,
truly,
and they see where you go left or where you go right, they're right there with
certainly
you. They want to take that
and
ride.
I think the show, if you haven't seen the movie, you would still enjoy the show and you would still laugh, but
it's just another layer.
Appreciate it so much.
Yeah,
more.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
I have so many friends that have come once, and then they go home and watch the movie again, and they come back again, and it just snowballs, because now watching the movie's funny now.
It's
great.
Oh yeah, it happened with us when we did a parody of Steinbeck, and this parody that
right.
we're doing now.
Yeah.
It ruins you for the original source material,
because
you're
really
like,
does.
You know, in Silence the Musical, that's when they tapped it.
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh no, it sounds hysterical. It sounds very, very funny.
And our director, choreographer, Christopher Gattelli, he just, you know, he won the Tony this year for Newsies.
Yes.
Choreographed Newsies.
Yes.
And it's a fantastic talent. And,
yeah, he's awesome.
And it's the clever staging.
Now, how familiar were you with the film?
Did you see
film?
It in New York?
No, I mean the film of Silence of the Lambs before.
I saw it years ago, but right. then well, Christopher told all of us to watch the movie all the time during rehearsal, and he wanted us to bring the essence of the character, but also Anthony Hopkins and Jodie Foster bring their essence, and
right.
not to make fun of them, but to embody them and pick out things that the quirks that they
yeah heighten them
heighten
and all
them,
that sure
heighten
yeah.
them, and we honor it that way. We don't make fun of it.
Yeah.
It's really a love letter to
yeah.
the movie.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's really fun.
I always, and you know, you said it earlier, Michael, but the thing that I look for is unauthorized, because you know, you look, because I mean, it has to be to effectively parody something, you can't be apologetic. You can't jump in the pool and get a little wet. You know what I mean? You really just have to go both barrels. And it sounds like this does.
Yes, it does. And we love it so much doing it. We don't want it to close. And so the next 4 weeks, you know, if people show up and fill the house, there's a chance that we might
extend
a week or two, or, you know, just get through the end of the year. I mean, I don't think there's been a cast this zany and talented in a long time in Los Angeles. And it's just a gifted, amazing cast.
Well,
everybody's perfect for the role.
To that end, and to hopefully extend, let's let people know how they can be part of it. This is, you want to visit silencethemusical.com for tickets and information. But this is playing locally currently through December 9th, but probably more, hopefully more, at the Hayworth Theater. And for tickets, as I said, silencethemusical.com, or you can call 866-811-4111. That's 866-811-4111. And what is the performance schedule?
Well,
it's Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays, and 8, Sundays, and 9.
3 and 7.
Oh, two shows on Sunday.
Yes.
Great.
Yeah,
okay.
After church is perfect. After church.
Yeah, total brunch thing, you know.
So, don't have the calamari.
Church brunch.
Don't have the calamari.
Come to the show.
Let me tell you, next week, because it's Thanksgiving,
right.
we don't have a Thursday night, but they've added a Saturday matinee at 2.
Oh, wonderful.
Next week. So we still have 5 shows, but it's a
little
bonus schedule.
Let me just tell the folks some of the quotes that this show has been getting. The Los Angeles Times said that Silence roars with laughter, outrageously fun. Backstage warned the management should prepare for theater goers to rip each other's faces off to get tickets. LA Weekly made the show pick of the week and said it meshes a South Park sensibility with crisp choreography, cheerful music, and smirking irony. Irresistible, brilliant. And the accolades just go on and on.
I've read that somewhere that someone said that our show makes the Book of Mormon seem like The Sound of Music. So there you have it.
Well, I love this one here, though. I love this quote. This is great. Is as irreverent, filthy, and funny as the Book of Mormon. The difference is you can afford the tickets.
Oh, wow.
I love that one. That's
well,
a great
that
one.
In itself
cool.
is reason to go.
Yes.
Right?
Very cool. So, yeah, please come. And we just love it. We love each other. And we don't want it to end.
Absolutely not.
It's palatable, though. You guys have that sort of, you know, but people, we see a lot of people in here, and we have people that come in and they talk about their shows, and, you know, that's one of the things we do. We promote shows, but there's something, that just, there's a crackling energy here that's really
oh,
nice.
Oh, my gosh.
I got to tell you something new. Do you have time? For one
Please.
Thing? I'm my life with Musical Theater West began this year,
yes.
basically, and in La Mancha and Spamalot, and they've asked me to direct their next production of
wow.
Oklahoma. So I'm
wow.
thrilled. I'm thrilled mm-hmm. to go.
Congratulations.
70 years. Oklahoma's around for 70 years.
Holy cow.
Can you imagine? And do you get a chance to direct often? Or?
No, this is my first time here in Los Angeles.
Really?
Awesome.
Yeah,
really thrilled.
Oh, wow. How exciting.
So I'll come back. I'll come back and talk about Oklahoma.
Please.
Yeah.
What about a hybrid of the two? Silence of the Oklahoma.
Oh.
We'll just have, you know, that who's the main character? What's the
Aunt Eller?
No, no, the
Curly.
Curly. Just Curly. Just carnage.
You
with
might
Curly.
Make a good Curly.
Curly just sung.
Yeah, can you sing?
Curly days are behind. I used
can
to sing.
Can he sing?
I used to sing. I just haven't in a long time. I haven't.
Get you out.
Yeah, you know, I'll be out there.
Well, congratulations.
Curly. What, in the octogenarian production?
You know,
in the all middle aged production of Oklahoma.
Cloris Leachman is Aunt Eller.
I'd love to see that. I'd pay to see that.
I would pay to see that, yeah.
Of all of our CLOs in Southern California, Musical Theater West certainly is, I think, the most successful of them. And financially, especially. They do remarkable business, and they really, you know, put on... Well, you've been down there. They put
Civic
on
Light Opera.
Top, yes.
I just figured it out. I'm sorry.
Oh, you did? Get with the jargon, Paul.
CLO, and I'm just like, it's a corporate event? What is this?
I was talking about the...
Yes, I did.
About the, yeah. The rock pop recording artist.
Yes.
CLO.
Yeah. I didn't know.
Hello.
I don't. You know, it's your world, Michael. I'm too busy dressed as a cop with an inner tube on. You're the musical theater guy.
Cops on drugs.
Cops on drugs. Yes.
But they always do great work
they do.
Down there.
Really, you know,
they do.
Always a pleasure. They're very passionate about it. And Steve Gladini, who has left the organization, but only for greener pastures, and is still very connected to Musical Theater West. But now he's down at Moonlight Amphitheater.
All right.
And making marvelous things happen for them, as he has sporadically in the past anyway. So now it's a full-time job. Steve got a nice raise, which he deserves, and is making music down there. We're coming to a time right now,
yes,
close to it, where we'd like to baptize our guests.
Which I normally tell people before the show about this, just so they can have something in their heads. But what we always like to ask them is at the end of the show, we ask them for an onstage mishap, something embarrassing that happened in performance. If there's anything that you could share, it's sort of become a little button on the end of the show. I'm trying to remember the one that you told when you were here last, Davis. You weren't the one about the rat in the costume. Was that you?
No, that wasn't.
That wasn't you?
No.
The guy in the costume, the big inflatable costume that the rat went up the pant leg and there was a live rat in his costume on stage.
Oh, wow. No.
just in terms of, you know, just the things that went wrong,
okay,
mishaps, on stage bloopers, do tell. Okay. Maybe LaToya will have one.
I have something.
I'm thinking.
That happened,
right.
It happened last week in silence. I don't know how much I can tell what it was, but... you know, when Clarice comes to see Hannibal in jail for the first time, there's a guy next door in the next cell called Miggs.
Yeah.
Multiple Miggs. And he, how do you say?
What did he whisper to you?
And you can't really give away too much.
Well, you know, he says nasty things to her on the way in.
Yeah.
And then on the way out, he ejaculates really basically in her face.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I can say that, right?
I was going to say gives
her
a little
did.
Surprise.
Well, you just did.
Gives her a surprise.
Yeah.
So in our show, we can't. It's a pair. It's a comedy. So what we use for that is silly string. Silly string
so
is...
So that's what it's for.
Sprayed all over Christine's face. And the other day, it got caught in her eye and on her microphone. It was just dripping everywhere, and she couldn't get it out of... And she turns to the glass... The audience doesn't see it, but she turns up to me through the glass, trying to get the silly string out of her eye, and I could not sing or speak. And in fact, the entire cast
we break
is on stage.
You break like
really
cheap glass.
Yes, the entire cast is dressed like lambs because they're all in her head. They're all lambs inside her head. All the lambs were laughing. And she was laughing, so it was.
It was
that happens
great.
A lot. We crack each other up a lot on stage.
Yeah.
It's really
good. Man, that's so. I call it church laughter.
It's church laughter
because it's when you can't, and the more you have
to
suppress
it.
It's yeah,
the funnier it is.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
That's what. It
so when you go to work every night, you have no idea what really might happen.
No,
on
we don't. And a lot of the show, a lot of it is improv, and it changes every night. And there's this. We have a great actor, that Jeff Hiller, in our show who. He played multiple roles, but he
Yeah.
Is probably one of the funniest guys I've ever seen, and all of his stuff is improv, so you never know what he's going to give.
Yeah.
And
get those people.
It's really fun.
Yeah.
What's yours, if you have time?
Oh, gosh. I can't really think of anything in particular. I just know that there's just a lot of bloopers going on with, like, you know, our hooves are falling off, the bone for Precious, you know, the dog, Buffalo Bill's dog.
But in dress rehearsal, they pulled off your dress, and you didn't have...
Oh gosh.
Underwear
on or
something.
Oh gosh, how could I forget that one? Okay. All right, so I'll tell that story.
That's something that would stick with me, let me tell you. I would recall that.
I tried to forget that, but you know, since Davis brought it back, I'll relive it.
Hang on, I want to get a pen.
Go ahead. Oh god, no. Okay, so I do a quick change on stage. You know, I go in behind the panel one way and they open the panels and I come out another way. And so I really don't want to share my trick, but anywho, I have this dress underneath and I hiked it up, and when they pull off the pants and the dress underneath, well, the dress didn't fall down. It was still hiked. And so I come out and I'm like, why do I feel this air? And I look down and I'm like, oh. And big eyes, big mouth, and I just played it all off. It was great. I mean, it's a comedy, and it fit right in. It was awesome.
That's the show out part of show up.
Yeah.
Show out. I showed out that day. I mean, the audience got a treat.
Now, you had another one.
You had another
one you said you wanted to tell.
No, that was it. It was just the hooves coming off and both. You know, there's things on stage that fall off that the audience don't see that we have to, like, get before the next scene, or else they're going to see it or someone's going to trip over it. So
I got to tell you, though, it really astounds me that when we presented the premise of, okay, name a mishap that happened on stage that you had to be reminded of that. Because so, that would stick with me.
There's a woman who left her purse on this
That
page.
Would stick with me. Yes.
Look,
it wasn't that she left the purse.
Memory.
It wasn't that she left the purse on the stage. It's that when she ran up to get it, she had no pants on.
Oh. See, that was just a cheap ploy.
Yeah, I was in the bathroom.
Yeah,
and
I heard my
name over the intercom and ran out.
Oh, that's hilarious.
I'm like, I don't even think I can get red, but I'm red right now.
My friend Kevin, when I was in college, my friend Kevin did a production of Curse of the Starving Class. It was a great Sam Shepard play, and he has to go off stage naked, and then he comes back on stage covered with blood, carrying a sheep that he has slaughtered. It's this horrible scene. And he has to walk out. So he has to walk out on stage completely naked, covered in blood. And I said, how was that? Was that difficult, Kevin? He said, it was fine because it's such a slow cross coming out that the people have time to get used to the idea that there's going to be a naked man on stage. And he said, so that was okay. The one night it was difficult was when the lady, the elderly woman who is in the front row, with her nose buried in her program until Kevin was 3 feet away from her, and it's all silent, and everyone's watching it, and Kevin just does the cross, and it's very regal, it's very powerful, and then he just hears, oh my God! He's just like, it's a long walk backstage from there. Oh my God. Silent in the theater. That's one of those moments that just sticks with you.
Well, it's the beauty of live theater.
I was just going to say that. Yeah. Just the reactions from the audience we have to, like, hold it together. I mean, it's just
great.
And
the other night, we were kind of appalled that a father brought, like, an 8 or 10 year old boy and sat in the front row. And you don't bring your children to this.
Right.
Are there
notifications of the promotional material?
Yes, there are.
Yeah.
Yes, there are.
Yeah.
It's an R-rated thing.
Well, I tell you, some people just
they can't complain.
Yeah. It's like you were told. You know, people have to be, this is sort of a personal thing with me. But people need to be educated, not only theatrical protocols, but as a parent, take some time to find something out about the production before you bring a kid to it. Because I know what it's like, and I'm sure you guys can agree with this. When you're on stage and you're delivering material like that, you feel very uncomfortable.
Yes, you did.
If you see a child there, you feel very uncomfortable doing that and, you know, presenting that stuff. And, you know, and then the other thing, too, that happens, which happened in my show when I was doing it, then you get the whole disruption of these irritated people grabbing their kids and dragging them out like it's your fault that they didn't do their due diligence.
Exactly.
You know, it's not my job to police what you share with your kid. Find it out yourself. Sorry,
absolutely.
Did I get soapboxy there?
No,
because I've prepared this slideshow.
Anyway.
It's just like people, you know, showing up inappropriately dressed at the theater these days in shorts and T-shirts and tennis shoes. And
well, you can do that at our show. That's no problem.
No, that's actually...
We don't mind that.
Well, and by LaToya, it's encouraged.
Yeah, you can come how you want to.
Come how you want.
Come,
come as you want.
We are so we're so sorry that we're out of time, but what a joy it was talking to both of you. I really enjoyed it.
Always.
And one more time, we'll remind you on how to get tickets for Silence, the musical at the Hayworth Theater, 2511 Wilshire Boulevard in Los Angeles. And that plays Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays at 8 p.m., Sundays at 3 p.m. and 7 p.m. And that extra matinee, Davis, you said,
is next Saturday, the... Not this Saturday.
Saturday after Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving at
is it 2
2 o'clock. Yeah.
There you go. Tickets are affordable. And you can get tickets at 866-811-4111 or visit their website, silencethemusical.com.
Was it great? Looking
thank
forward
you so
to
much
it.
For no, having
thank you
us.
So
nice
much.
Seeing you
Davis,
both.
Thank
LaToya.
You for having
thank
us.
You, Paul. Yes. Thank you.
And we will see you next week on the radio, Michael.
You bet, sir.
You're listening to State of the Art with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.